All right, the club is back, and we have to get in these hoop streets here a little over a week before the dance will close on Underdog Fantasy. That is, of course, the NBA Playoff Best Ball Contest. We checked in on this contest about a month or so ago, and now with the playoffs approaching, we wanted to dive in again, and to do so, we brought over Mike Zakarian from Team Hold. We'll talk a little bit about the overall playoff landscape, some high-level strategy, and then we'll rip a couple of drafts there in that contest with a $50,000 top prize. This is the club with Pete, Andy, Clay, and guest Mike. Let's roll. All right, we got Andy, we got Clay. Mike, welcome back to the club. How is this NBA season treating you so far?
Good. It's good to be back. One week left. I'm just ready. I think I'm tired of trying to figure out where everybody's going to land. Like, I just want the playoffs to be set. So, I don't think we're going to have a freaking clue until Sunday. Like, I don't think there doesn't seem to be a clear path of knowing where everyone's going to land until the very last day, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah. Andy, how have you been? Are you still firing in all of these daily streets? I know you got a lot going on with IKB right now as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely still am. I don't think I can help myself. But I feel like this time of the year is really weird. I feel like a couple weeks ago, it was really nice because you could pretty easily tell who's going to be playing, who's not going to be based on positioning and stuff. But now it's at the point where it's so close to the end of the season that you never know what's going to happen. But it was kind of nice. We had the day off yesterday. And so I actually maxed the contests for today yesterday, trying to get ahead of the news and everything. So today I'm kind of chilling, just waiting for the games to start.
What's the degen opposite of being a procrastinator? You're like, I'm going to be really dialed in, get on top of all of my intrigues a day early.
I saw you put that in the Discord, and I really like, I rethought my entire process yesterday. I was like, wait, what do you mean you did all 150? Like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. Well, my thinking for yesterday in particular was Jason Tatum and SGA both had Q tags that I didn't think were real. And so I was like, I'm just going to draft these guys because I think they're going to play, and if they don't, whatever, I lose, but I think that they're going to, and that'll pay off. And so I have like 50% SGA and like 30 or 40% Tatum, and so I'm just kind of hoping that I got good value on them and can get lucky.
Clay, how about you? Are you excited about hoops? Did you enjoy some March Madness over the past week or so?
Enjoyed March Madness up until the Elite Eight, and then it was all downhill from there. And then, you know, I would definitely give the edge to the Women's National Championship game over last night. Just wasn't quite as entertaining from a viewing experience, but I'm excited. I mean, I don't know if Mike, Andy, you guys feel this way, but it might be one of the most kind of exciting final weeks of the regular season that I can remember. I've definitely enjoyed the play-in tournament component to just kind of spicing up the standings and the seeding a little bit more, but I feel like that's even more exciting this year than in recent seasons. So, you know, aside from the Celtics, it's like pretty much everything's wide open on the table.
Minnesota and Denver play tomorrow night, basically for the one seed.
It's crazy.
We don't get that.
I don't know if you guys watched the Knicks and Bucks game a couple minutes ago. That was a really fun game to watch. The Knicks are really good. It's a shame that Randall's not coming back. But yeah, it's really
Andy, fun. you are breaking up just a little bit for me on your end there.
That's not shocking to me. You have to everyone figure that
as a guy like hammers your router behind you.
Yeah, I'm currently on my
phone. Under construction today.
It was a surprise that it's still going this late. Sorry.
Clay, I was with you before we hop into the NBA. If you would have told, you know, like my middle school or high school self that I would have watched more of the women's college basketball tournament than the men's, my head would have fallen off. And that absolutely happened. I got caught up in it. And I'm with you. The pace of that LSU game was incredibly fun.
Yeah. And I just like, I can't get down with these comments that it like wasn't good basketball. I mean, you can't look at the men's collegiate basketball game and tell me that's good basketball. And those women were just fucking draining shots, man, all over the court. It wasn't even just Caitlin Clark. It was great, entertaining, excitement. I'm here for it. So hopefully that continues.
I think it has been like a long time since I've watched women's basketball, probably like a lot of people. And I mean, the product is so, so much better. Like it is, it's light years ahead of where it was. And I'm like, not the first person to have this thought. I'm like the last person to have it. But I mean, Caitlin Clark, like she moves and plays like an NBA player. Like her court awareness, the speed, the way with which she processes things on the floor. Like it is so fun to watch her play.
Well, and you can tell it's caught up too, because the discourse has changed where now someone's become so likable that we have to hate them. yeah. And like that's exactly what happened this week. And it was perfect. It's what we needed.
Yeah. Caitlin's probably the closest thing to Steph Curry we've seen too, in terms of just like pull up from anywhere shooting in any regard. Once she crosses half court, it's hand in the face territory. And that's just impressive.
It was fun. Like, I feel like I was watching, like people who have been following women's college basketball, they're like very familiar with the stars and like the teams. And I felt like I was like experiencing a video game and getting to a new level and not knowing what was expected. I'm like, oh my God, South Carolina, there's a 6'7" in boss from Brazil here. I was like, where did this girl come from? I was like, all these wonders like popping out behind these corners to try to thwart Caitlin Clark.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little hoops here. Andy, your picture quality looks a little better. Do we have you back now?
Yeah, I realized I was also in Costa Rica for reasons that no one needs to ask about on my computer. And so I turned off my VPN. I'm back.
I thought you were going to say you were in Costa Rica recently and like had your settings. No, I got you.
Yeah. No, I go to Costa Rica almost every day. It's really crazy.
Yeah, I believe it.
Great.
So let's, I'll get the,
must be nice.
I'll screen share here the standings right now. And I think one of the funny things is the Western Conference, when we did this show about a month ago, we were talking about the logjam at the top with the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Thunder. And don't we basically have the exact same setup that we did a month ago?
Yeah, the only difference is that the Clippers have fallen off. At that point, the Clippers were in that, it was a 4-team race. And the Clippers have fallen off now to that next tier.
Gotcha.
And I mean, you look at the Mavericks have kind of created a little bit of separation here down the stretch, but even the Lakers, who everybody's making fun of, rightfully so, about like how ESPN would just be only talking about the Lakers. They're like, oh, dude, there's like the 9th or 10th best team, which is still true right now. But they're just like a game and a half outside of getting out of the play-in game. And like, as we start talking about the dance a little bit, like Lakers pretty much went undrafted or like towards the end of the round for the last month that the contest has been open. And now they've got a path forward to get out of the play-in game. And like the opposite, the Sacramento Kings, who everybody's like, oh yeah, Fox and Sabonis, you can just take both of them. You get the entire offense. And now they're probably not going to be in the playoffs. Like they are going to be last year's OKC Thunder, where SGA was getting drafted a bunch and then he's not going to be used at all.
Yeah. Are there any other considerations for you guys with that in the West of players who are maybe now draftable that weren't, or along the line of the Kings that are maybe just a way more fragile click right now?
Yeah, I think, and great that I have not done a ton of these drafts, but from what I remember as well is I think the Mavs are getting significantly more interesting over time. They're playing really, really well. They're now set up to play the Clippers, who last year, Luka statistically like has always done really well against that team. Kawhi's been in and out of the lineup. Harden hasn't been playing as well as he originally was. Like, I think you can pretty easily tell yourself a story where they can have it fall right, where they play the Clippers in the first round, play OKC or Minnesota in the second round, and then get the Nuggets in the conference finals. And I think that makes them really compelling as a team. And I think last time we did this, they were in the play-in, and so their future was a little bit less clear. So they're a team that's pretty exciting to me.
I think one other thing, too, from like a value standpoint, it's kind of wild. Like the Timberwolves have, you know, a pretty clear path to a 1 or a 2 seed and are getting drafted like they are a 5 seed. Like it's pretty easy to scoop all of them. And I think that's kind of from a value standpoint, I like it. Because you can get Ant like late second round. No one's ever excited to draft Rudy and Kat. I mean, the concern is they don't have any real wings on their team that are useful. But I think it's kind of nuts that they're like a one or two seed, but are getting drafted like they are a six or a seven seed.
Yeah. Clay, have you been doing any of these drafts? Do you have any Western Conference hot takes?
No, I've been putting a pause in the dance pitcher just with a limited ammo to fire at and the unclarity. I've just been trying to get a little bit more information playing the waiting game, but I'm just really fascinated, I think, with some of like the matchup potential and how that will change like my, you know, layman's perspective on like a viability for a team to make a run. Like the Timberwolves, for example, or, you know, think about like what team's going to have to face the Nuggets in the first round. And there are, you know, particular matchups for like, you know, going against the Nuggets where, you know, it's like if the Lakers face them, then the Nuggets don't have quite as easy of a path to advance. Theoretically, obviously everything is kind of like, we don't know shit. But if it's a different team, it's like, they could just cakewalk to the finals again. So I think there's just a little bit of like intrigue on my part to try to, you know, think through potential matchups a little bit more importantly. And that's also part of the fun of drafting right now is the chaos that nothing is settled.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we talk about this with fantasy football contests on Underdog as well, right? There's pros and cons to drafting early. You draft early, you can get some of these insane values. But if you have been waiting, being able to know exactly who these matchups are, having a lot higher degree of confidence is going to allow you to play out the bracket, you know, a lot more feasibly. What about in the Eastern Conference? Celtics still just have a massive runway here for the one seed, 15 games, and then a little muddled there with the next six seeds, like all just right there.
This to me is where like you can get real edge here, because people are still drafting the Milwaukee Bucks like they're a good basketball team. And they haven't been a good basketball team. They haven't been a good basketball team for like 4 months. So I don't know what we're doing
since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
When they fired their coach.
Yeah. Right. They're under 500 in like the second half of the season. And the Magic, like no one's drafting the Magic. There's only like two guys that are going, and it's like Paolo in round six, maybe. And then Franz maybe in round 10. And like the Magic have a real path. They play the Bucks twice this week at a two seed, which I know is probably getting everybody hard as hell for the Miami Heat or the Sixers or whatever, but you can get like kind of like what you got with Sabonis and Fox last year from Orlando with like a real shot of playing two rounds.
But half the scoring power.
Yeah, that's true. But like that whole range of like Milwaukee, Orlando, Knicks, Cavs, it's all kind of a dumpster fire. There's like no real belief in any of them. But it's one of crazy. Them is going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, well, the Orlando Magic being a three seed is things I did not have on my bingo card for this season. Truly. So that's, yeah. It's almost like did my eyes get fucked up from the eclipse yesterday when I see the standings to see the Magic in third place? Like, that's kind of how it feels out here.
I had them in like the top six, but this is crazy. I did not see this coming. And then, like, you look at the Sixers, who only a game back from the Pacers. They just get Embiid back, who is, like, fine. Embiid's healthy.
Looks good.
And now, you know, they have a chance at playing the Bucks in the first round.
Mm.
And for people who were drafting early and getting, like, Embiid in the second round and Maxey in, like, the eighth round or seventh round or whatever, they seem to be, like, the biggest threat to the Celtics, or at least to make an Eastern Conference Finals out of all of them, I think, anyways.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you looking at just pulled up the just championship odds right now too. Celtics plus 170, Nuggets plus 360, Bucks plus 800. Sounds like that's just like an easy fade. Bucks winning the championship at the third highest odds.
I wouldn't use Clippers, a bonus bet on that. Just
Clippers plus 850, Thunder plus 1400, Suns plus 2000, Timberwolves 2200. You have to go all the way down past what? 2, 4, 5 more Western Conference teams to get to the 76ers at plus 2500. And then the Bucks are the weak team. It seems like playing one of these other Eastern Conference as a long shot makes a ton of sense if the Bucks are that fragile.
And that's why winning that play-in game between what I'm assuming is going to be the Sixers and Heat is going to be so important, because the winner of them will get either the Bucks, Magic, Knicks, whoever. But the loser will then have to beat either the Bulls or the Hawks and then get the Celtics. And I know everyone's like, oh, dude, the Celtics, they lost to the Heat last year. The Heat are an 8 seed. They've done it before. I don't know. I'm not buying any of the Miami Heat love.
They used all their good juju last year. Like, it's you can't do the same, you know, Cinderella story back to back years in that regard. Yeah. They ran pure when it came to they almost fucking lost a playing game. They were 4 minutes away from losing that shit.
Right.
And they sun run Miami Heat sun run to the Eastern Conference final or to the finals. Like, it was bananas.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think about this take? This is always the age old question for late drafters. Do you think the winner has already been drafted?
No, I don't know. I think it's impossible to know. We don't know who's playing who yet. Like, we literally, there's like 15 different matchups that we don't know. I don't think so.
The other reason, just literally, even if you said super teams were made, the contest is not that full right now. Which makes it very hard. I'm trying to pull it up here.
And they probably have Rockets, so RIP.
Well, it's right. And I think everybody thinks that, like, the two favorites to come out of the East and the West are the Celtics and Denver, and it's impossible to, well, not impossible, it's really hard to draft that as like a tournament winning lineup. Like, it's hard to get those cores in there. Like, you're either getting Denver and then two pieces of shit from Boston or vice versa. Like, it's really, and then it's going to be hard to get that lineup into the finals anyway. So I don't know.
I'm interested. Go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say to confirm, and as Ned points out here in the chat, it's only 34% full. This locks on 420, hella chill. That's in 11 days. I'm sure interest will pick up here a little bit, but like, this contest has been open for a while and it's only a third of the way full.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I maxed it last year. I didn't start drafting until like last week, though. I was really hesitant to, just because I had no feel. I still don't have a feel, but now I'm getting antsy because I know how long it takes to draft these things. So I just started firing.
Yeah, exactly. What were you saying, Clay?
Yeah, I was like curious to get like Mike's perspective on one of my favorite kind of sports media questions over the last like week or so, which is like, do you think there's going to be a changing of the guard this year with these younger teams in the West in particular at the top of the standings? And their likelihood to maybe advance and make it to the finals versus like the old guard with like the Lakers, Warriors, Clippers, you know, making a deep run when some of these teams are stuck down in the play-in tournament.
Well, I mean, only one of the Lakers and the Warriors are going to get into the playoffs, I think. And I think people, this is, you want a tough media take, people forget. Denver's really fucking good. Like,
really good.
And I think
oh, they got that one guy.
They're like, well, Steph Curry against Jokic. Like, I don't know who you take. And it's going to be Denver in four. Like, that's what it's going to be. Unless they decide to, like, rest Jamal Murray for a game. So I think we'll all be reminded that Denver's really, really good.
Gentleman's rest.
Yeah. I think OKC is legit. I don't think anybody wants to give them any credit. I do think OKC is legit. I think they're going to, like, if I think their kryptonite would be a team like the Lakers who could just beat the crap out of them down low. But I love what their coach said. Like, it was a few weeks ago, Jusuf Nurkić got like 24, 26 rebounds against them. It was like a Suns Thunder game. And he was like, yeah, he did. And we beat them. Like, he was like, yeah, we know that that is going to be a leak. But because we do that, we're allowed to do so much more that allows us to beat you. So I don't know. I think Thunder's legit. I think Minnesota's legit too. But I do think we're going to be reminded that Denver's just like way better than everybody else in the West.
It just also feel like the team too, like the new, like they're not trying until they have to in many regard. I mean, case in point with them sitting Jamal, for example, but it's like, I mean, Jokic is doing ungodly stuff when it's like not even caring. And like, imagine when he does like turn it on for the playoffs. It's been impressive to learn more about their flow of their offense and his point center, just stuff is insane.
Yeah.
Yep. We got some hoop heads in the chat today. Donovan Shea, Clippers are dead on arrival. George has one foot out the door, and Chipsy checking out the splits here. The Thunder are 3-1 against Denver this year. Mike says, I think
regular season.
Minnesota has the best shot versus the Nuggets. There any thoughts on these chat comments?
If you scroll up a little bit, Donovan drops some like real alpha here. If you are messing around with the Sixers, DeAnthony Melton, who hasn't played in like 3 months, I think it's set to be back tonight, and he's not getting drafted at all, and he's going to be like their starting guard, and no one likes to click any of the Sixers outside of Embiid Maxey. So I thought that was some real Melton alpha there in the chat.
Ooh, yeah, sorry. I don't know why I can't find this guy. Oh, here it is. And I think, you know, just in general with these playoff contests, and this is no different from the NFL stuff, like people are hesitant to click like non-alpha players. But if you're playing, like if you have a 2 West build, right, and you're playing the Sixers to the finals, like you absolutely need to be taking a third, you know, most likely in those scenarios. Like if you're right, like there's a very good chance that that third player is going to contribute in the top heavy finals. So it seems like even just making that extra bet, you're probably getting a pretty big ownership discount too, right? Like a guy like Melton is not going to be getting drafted.
Yeah, I think we'll see him steamed. I think he'll get drafted a bunch in the next week or so, especially if Philly like gets themselves out of the play-in. I think you'll see it a little bit more. But yeah, I do think he could be taken. Like, I think the most common four Denver guys taken are Jokic, Jamal, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and then the fifth one being KCP. And I don't think anybody's getting all five of those, but like, I do think you can get weird with like a Christian Brown or a Peyton Watson if you're trying to get a form. And that allows you to like chip up a little bit with, you know, if you're doing, cause I've been doing a lot of like I was doing a four Nuggets build with a bunch of 2-man stacks from the East instead of doing like a full East team. Mm-hmm. So throw like two Knicks out there, two Heat out there, two Magic out there, and then just like hope one of them gets there, you know? But yeah, I don't know. Chip, although Chip Skylark in the chat, who's never been wrong, is against the backup player. So
yeah, but how, like if everyone's saying it's going to be a Denver and Celtics, or say you're loaded up on one of those two and everyone's tripping over themselves to grab those guys, how are you going to either one capitalize on a different finals or be able, I get the element of you're going to have to drag Denver and Celtics to the finals with non-backup players. But if you're playing for an upset of the Celtics and you're right, like how do you capitalize on that bet? Are you saying only two players are going to score for your Eastern Conference team? Like say if it's a Nuggets Sixers final, the Nuggets are going to be very hard to get a bunch of them, right? Like, aren't you going to need three Sixers in that scenario to take that down?
Maybe.
If you have three or four starting Nuggets, though, you're fine. Like, you know, if you, like, you know, Nez points out there's only five, you're only starting five people in your lineup.
Yeah.
So I think it is viable to do Mike's strategy here where it's like,
I had a tough time last year where, for the dance was my first time maxing anything. And I had an insane advance rate in the first round. I think I had like something like 40%, and then did okay into the next round, but then like bricked out in the final. I think I had like one or two dead finals teams get through. So take all of this with a grain of salt, but I think it's really hard. Like, yes, if you run perfect and you have 4-4, right, you have like four Celtics and four Thunder and they all get through whatever. And now you have eight guys in the final. Yeah, that's great. That's great if you can do that. But I think having the four with the 2-2-2 of like, I'm like capturing the majority of the offense from those guys. So it's not like I'm having Jimmy Butler and then Duncan Robinson or something. I'm having Jimmy and Bam. I'm having Paolo and Franz. I'm having Brunson, and there's no second guy that's important for them. But like, you know what I'm saying?
Big ragu.
I go Josh Hart over Dante. But having like capturing more of the offense than just getting, I would rather have three sets of two than having like, I don't know. Maybe the Knicks is a bad example because you can't get Dante so late. I don't know. I'm curious what the chat thinks.
The counter is when you show up in the finals and first place is 50,000 and you are having to differentiate from all of those other rosters, having that one piece when everyone, if it is the Sixers or say that Heat example, like everyone is going to have Butler and Bam. Like if it's, which is what happened last year. Right. But I get it. I know that the way the scoring works over a 7-game series, it's harder for the variance to work in your favor, like it is with NFL, but it does seem like some of those Celtics Denver combos, it's going to be very hard to have all of the good pieces there with them.
That is the big wrinkle of trying to get unique in the NBA contest versus NFL is the rotation's tight in the playoffs, yeah. And there's not production. You don't get the chance for the player who has, you know, five snaps a game to catch the bomb that you could use to be unique and still put points on the board. Because if you're getting a backup player and they're getting 7 minutes of rotation, they're not going to crack your scoring at all, unless you just are filling that roster spot with 7 minutes. But I think more likely than not, you want to be more viable to have the studs and try to hope that other team, there's very few teams that are making it with five viable starting players in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the way that it's going right now, I saw Chip actually just talked about it too in the chat. I've kind of stopped doing Boston Denver combos anyways, because I think it's like that's been oversaturated. Everybody tried to do that. Everybody's still trying to do that. And I'm like, I don't think you're building any teams that are giving yourselves a shot at this point. Maybe that's wrong, but I think it's too hard. It's too hard.
I mean, if you're on team, don't draft backups, and you're also on team, it's going to be a Denver Celtics. You can't hold both of those truths at the same time.
No. And I mean, you have two Celtics, almost three Celtics going in the first round. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. So we have time to do two drafts. Let's hop in and do a couple of these now. I know Mike is going to take off right before four. Mike, let people know, what do you got going on with Team Hold over on Playback this afternoon?
Yeah, we're just doing some playback stuff. I don't know if anybody's messing around with So Rare. It's the sweet spot between season long and daily. So they have like these game weeks that are like Monday through Thursday or Friday through Sunday. And that, because there were no games last night, tonight's lock. So we do a live before lock that's at 4 p.m. But yeah, over at Team Hold, we do the NBA bit, which is like a daily basketball show Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. where we just kind of shoot the shit. And then Andy's not here anymore, but we now build pick'ems on IKB.
Nice.
So yeah, come hang out with that.
Yeah, we did.
Congrats on being the first IKB influencer, Mike.
Yeah, dude, it's been pretty big. I got a tattoo.
You live in Costa Rica now, too?
Dude, it's great. I had to like read five different blogs and DM four different friends on how the fuck to figure out Blast. But once I got that down, I'm an L2 bro now. I'm a Web3 guy. I'm ready to cook.
Blasting off, baby.
Oh, he's back.
Speaking of the devil. Right, wow, his ears must have been fucking burning. He was like, wait for the IKB talk. I'm back.
Nobody was happier than IKB for the night off after I just like, wow, 101. Let's get Jokic.
101. Is it a debate with Tatum, or is Jokic just so far ahead? I was just trying to spark debate. You know, I was always clicking Jokic.
So now we just see if Jamal Murray falls to the second round, which he usually goes right around somewhere between pick 10 and 12.
I heard someone in a hypothetical say the Nuggets might rest them a game, and that's how they could drop one. So that's maybe.
It doesn't make it a little more interesting.
All right. I see we got GME holder in here of a Dog Bowl finalist fame.
Shout out to him. He's actually been pretty active on IKB, speaking of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot.
Did I see you guys keep setting new all-time highs for volume?
Yeah, we'll see how today goes. The other on Sunday, that was had like by far our biggest yet.
So I ripped so many pick'ems that it was like impossible to keep track of on Sunday. It was the most I've fired in a very long time.
Yeah, people have been liking the pick'ems. I think with all the Blast Gold rake back stuff, it's like essentially impossible to lose unless you really, really lose. And so
that's how you know you're really bad if you're not getting any of the gold.
Are we gonna get Jamal Murray? Is Jamal Murray gonna fall here?
Don't mush it, Mike. Yeah. The guy's name is literally Mischief. I mean, it's living to take.
He's got to take Derek White, right?
He's gonna take Dwight. Dude, you might not get another Celtic. You gotta get Derek White here, man. If you're watching.
Yeah, if you don't take Derek White here, we're taking Derek White and Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say Derek Lock White's better up. Than Jamal Murray.
And it's just Gordon too, just no hesitation.
I would, yeah.
Would.
And now, so what this does though, it puts us in this weird situation of trying to figure out who the fuck to take in the East. But
yeah,
what's nice is like you're like, all right, we're taking the Knicks, we're taking the Cavs. Like none of them, no one's excited to draft any of these guys. So it should be easy for us to like pair those together.
I haven't heard the Pacers mention a single time in this stream yet.
Yeah, they're weird, man. They like refuse to play two consecutive good games. They're such a weird team.
They're just also, they're young.
Yeah. Although Siakam is a wing, which is kind of nice because what sucks about the Cavs, like it's nice you get Donovan Mitchell or Mobley or Jared Allen, but they have no wings on that team, which is not fun.
Mm.
I agree with Chip in the chat too. I do think you could take Michael Porter Jr. there too if you wanted instead of Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's chalk. I assume lots of 101s have started Jokic, Murray, Gordon too.
Yeah,
I guess.
If Murray gets there, I'm always surprised when he gets there. Because I think a lot of people will, a lot of times people will try to go, they'll get Tatum with two and then they'll take Jamal Murray and then whoever's left of the Celtics in round three of like White, Holiday or whoever, they'll take it.
Yeah.
That's interesting to the point with MPJ, because I don't know if this still holds true like this season, but I know historically like his splits with Jokic have been more positive than Gordon, if I remember that correctly from some of the more deeper analytics.
Especially when Murray sits, Michael Porter Jr. usually ends up being the biggest beneficiary of it.
Yep.
But I don't. What do you guys think? Yeah, sorry, Pete, you were probably just going to.
No. I was gonna probably say the same thing.
Yeah, who should we draft? Yeah.
Do we start? Who do we start building around here from the East?
I mean, I don't hate like if we go Mike strategy. I don't hate going like Brunson and Maxey and giving us optionality to build those two teams, but I could be overruled.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks about Maxey is you can't get Embiid, but obviously, but yeah, I think like either Brunson, Maxey, Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, I think you're taking two of those is what I would do.
What do you lean, Andy? Like, are you feeling more?
Man, I would probably go Brunson and Maxey.
The only reason I'll give you is some Jimmy, because I would definitely take Brunson. Only reason I would mention Jimmy here is because, which is fine. Double click it, baby. Let's go. The only reason I would mention Jimmy is because our wing depth is it starts with Aaron Gordon, who isn't really that. But now I do think you try to get some Paolo. If we can next time around, because you want some wing to actually contribute.
I mean, there's also the Chekhov's Melton. I mean, he was just always destined for this team after selecting Maxey.
As long as Donovan's not in the draft, though, Donovan was all over it. That's true. Really is such a sharp call. Because he's not getting drafted at all, and he's going to start. Like, I know everybody's excited to click Kelly Oubre, but Melton's like an actual playoff player.
Yeah. Any other? So looking at these builds, our guy GME Holder ripped off three straight Celtics, Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, Drew Holiday, then grabbed Kevin Durant and then gets Horford coming back to him and then grabs Zion Williamson. Any other builds jumping out to you guys here?
I know the Clippers look broken right now, but you're getting decent value on them, like where it's pretty easy to scoop all of Kawhi, Paul George, Harden, and then get, like Zubac late if you want to. And I like that it's easy to put together that whole team and you're not like killing a lot of your draft value.
Yeah. I had heard you mention Paolo. He does go. Is there a chance Jimmy comes back to us here?
No. He went. I think he went right after we clicked there.
Oh.
No.
Is he still there?
Yeah. That's what I was like. I thought, yeah.
Dude, Pete, maybe your double click was what we needed.
It's threw everyone off.
See how mischievous MC Mischief is.
He's getting
there.
After it, dude. Fucking check.
Oh, we get it.
Lock up Jimmy.
Jimmy and Bam.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Jimmy, wham, bam, boom.
Look, I know. I mean, I think the point about Maxey without Embiid is very important, but uniqueness, just get another nugget. Four Nuggets, one Sixer, they make it to the finals. Now we just start thinking about how we feel five in the finals with our East combinations.
Well, and then this is where you find yourself in that same spot, right? Of like, do you grab a fringe Denver guy so you're live for like basically any of your Eastern Conference finals that you want, or do you keep building out the twos?
I know Chip is going to hate this because he's like, they only play five guys. I do think one of Christian Brown or Peyton Watson is going to be important for the Denver Nuggets if they go to the finals. And so, and those are last round picks. Like, I think you can take either one of those. I think if KCP is still there, though, we should probably take KCP. But Reggie Jackson, I'm not taking Reggie Jackson.
Hell no. We would need a Jamal injury at that point. This team's already dead. So, that's not fun. Braun, I mean, like, you know, unless we really feel Watson has elbowed him out for playoff rotation minutes. But also, I did like Nez's shout earlier for somebody that I don't want to mush us, but since we're kind of locking up Miami, there's a third Miami piece that maybe be playoff viable in a fun way.
Okay.
His name rhymes with Scary Harry.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I like it.
I was just looking at what the Sun 007 was doing from the three hole because I was saying who else has a nugget that might be interested in KCP. He's got an interesting team because he's like all over the West. OKC, Minnesota, Denver, another OKC, another Minnesota, Indy, Minnesota. So I don't know.
One, he has one East piece.
Pete, by interesting, did you mean dumb?
No, who am I? Who am I to? I think Melton's the best player in the entire player pool after just one comment. So
I'd be like, you're building your playoff team. You're like, well, dude, listen, we got four Bills, we got four Dolphins, and we got four Patriots. I know they're not going to make the playoffs, but
KCP comes back. Is that the click?
Yeah, I think take KCP.
Gets us a fourth guard, which I don't know if we necessarily need. Is Tobias Harris? I guess we can do whatever now as far as East stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what's nice about this is we're going to have four nuggets
in the finals.
Yeah. And then you can we can get Melton probably in the 10th and then we could get three Heat and three Sixers, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. So should we just lock up Rozier here?
Yeah.
Let's we're going to go. Scary. Yeah.
Well, the other option would be Tobias Harris, but he kind of,
oh, yeah, that's only going to leave us with two wings. We should absolutely take Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I think Tobias Harris.
I guess I'll just have to get my Melton shares in another draft in the quiet of my own.
Can we pull up Donovan's comment while we just made that click too, please?
I mean, the biggest Melton bull I know says Tobias Harris sucks ass.
And he really does, but we only had
two. He does suck ass.
Yeah. We only had two things.
I mean, you could still take Melton here, right?
Yeah,
we can go.
The world's our oyster. Whole draft board's open.
Hold on, wait. Go back to the team. We're not going to have four Sixers.
Yeah, we met. No. Oh, I'm sorry.
We have two. My bad. Yeah,
yeah.
So we're choosing. Do we want three Heat or three Sixers? I think you can totally take Melton over Scary Terry.
I think I emotionally, mentally already thought we had Melton since you've been talking about him so much.
We sure been talking about it a lot. Really tried to drive
our third round pick.
Yeah.
He's going to come back tonight and tweet to Hammy. We're not going to see him again.
I mean, so what happened to Tyler Hero? I'm old enough to remember when the Miami Heat media told me that my cousin should have definitely accepted their package because Tyler Hero was a top 15 player in the NBA. Why is he going so far in these drafts?
I think he's played two games in the last 4 months.
Okay.
So he just came back from injury. He's coming off the bench, playing like 20 some odd minutes off the bench. But he was hurt forever.
He got supplanted by Mr. Terry.
By Mr. Terry.
Love it.
And every other white guy the Miami Heat could find.
Daddy Duncan.
All right. So here's our team so far. We got those four nugs, Jamal Murray, KCP at guard, Aaron Gordon at wing, Jokic holding it down. And then we got our bets in the East, just our lone Nick, Jalen Brunson. We got Maxey and Tobias Harris right now on the Sixers, Jimmy Butler and Bam on Miami. So now we're going to decide which guard we're going to get here.
We could also take the real Triple J, Jaime Jaquez Jr.
Or, I feel like we have
the other,
to take
the other Mel, Nikola. Right?
Oh, we got to take Mel. Yeah, you got to get
no
Mel.
Way. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we could have gone both Jovic and Jokic. Oh,
that would have been interesting.
There you go.
Well, you already did an entry, Pete. I'm proud of you.
Well, on this show. Oh, last time. Yeah, let's take a look at it.
See how we were supposed to say the dance up with Clay on that one, if I remember correctly.
Luca, yes. Listen, Luca's going to the first round now. You got Luca value.
So we had Luca, Kyrie. Yeah, we have Dallas, Phoenix build.
Dude, this seems sexy. Tatum.
It's a solo Tatum, all rest
this,
west.
This team holds up well.
This is what we were just making fun of. This is the team we were just making fun of.
What are you talking about? This seems brilliant.
Maybe that's why I was getting so defensive, because I knew it was a big part of my portfolio. In fact, 100% of my portfolio up until now.
What if Tatum's the only one to make the finals from the East? You know, you gotta be prepared.
What if? Yeah, what if it's a final destination scenario where the Celtics lose one player each round, that it's just Tatum playing 1-on-5? All right,
the rest of Celtics is another relevant one. Got four Suns on there. Golden.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
See if we I also just love that they're filling quickly now, because it was taking a while last week.
Really? Yeah.
I hopped in this one.
Wow.
I think too, for those of you alt sport underdog players, I think next week on Off and On the Clock, we're gonna have DJ on to talk some hockey stuff before the NHL playoffs start. So if you're looking for that, I know people are excited to do that show again. So we will get some hockey going next week, Wednesday, with the Badge Bros. This time we got the 1-6. We got Nez, Chipsy. Clay went rogue. Look at this. Clay, 1 minute saying, hey, don't forget I own a portion of that piece of shit team. The next moment, stabbing my back by hopping in a draft to go against me.
Stabbing your back. Sir, you promised me that you would rename that team with my name. Next
I haven't
it,
named
right
them
after.
Yet.
Now I got to protect myself. Pete, when have you ever not named a team right after you drafted, man?
Oh, wow.
When they're my low bullet on basketball. Here you go, Clay. Give me for you.
Appreciate it. Gotta protect my bases, man.
Dog shit Clay team. There you go, bud.
Respect.
Be happy now.
Thank
be
you.
Careful what you wish for.
I am.
Be careful what you
no,
wish
if
for.
You could screenshot that, that'd be fantastic. I'm gonna put it as my Twitter banner.
Melton Mealton, I guess is how that's gonna read. Okay. 1-6. We went from the influencer 1-1 to the 1-6, so we'll get to a completely different side of the board.
I really do think this is the worst spot.
Really?
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, like, what's happening now, which is kind of weird, is SGA has been falling a little bit. And so if you can get SGA at 6, I like it. But it never feels good to be like, oh, I guess we'll just do Jaylen Brown and Porzingis. Like, I don't know. I don't.
All right. Then let's get creative. Let's.
Yeah. You go Embiid. You take Embiid. And but then, like, what are you doing with the West, you know? Embiid. And I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, what are we doing with the West if we take Boston?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Could you go like you don't get Maxey coming back to you, right?
I think you might. I think there's a shot.
You
going
could go Embiid? Like Embiid, Jamal Murray. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say Embiid, Jamal, or Embiid, Ant.
Yeah.
Man, this team has Melton written all over it.
Melton on.
Yeah, the extra E.
Clay, took Luka there. You're not gonna get Tatum though, so you can't build the same team we did last time on the show.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, we'll call that value. I don't know what I want to do.
Was the Luka ADP movement all because he did that trick shot off the Jumbotron and in? Is that kind of what fueled that?
Yep, the combo of that and Kyrie hitting that weird hook shot. The Mavericks have spiked since then.
You know, underdog playoff basketball drafters are notoriously impressionable by trick shot highlights.
I was more impressed actually by the behind the back kick alley-oop he did this last week.
I missed that one. My fucking TikTok algorithm's letting me down. I need that shit for nuggets on this show.
What's been in the algo lately?
I just see the one off the Jumbotron like 19 times. They keep feeding me the same one.
Have you shared
new angle?
Have you shared with the people our favorite TikTok performer?
Oh no, it's been a while since I've seen
him. Please share.
I can't even remember his name.
I can't either. I can't either.
There's this guy who kept showing up on my live that had blown up like with an ironic fan base. Like his singing was atrocious. And he had like this vocoder and it was all like modulated, but he had like a really sick streaming setup. And like all the comments are just like cheering him on, like even though it's awful, it's just like go off king. And he would just stream for like 4 hours. Yes. And I would get stoned before bed and watch him. It was like the most soothing thing ever. I gotta think of this guy's name, Mike. It's killing me now.
I know. I'll see if I can find it.
That was between you and me though. I can't believe you kind of doxed my TikTok.
I had to go back to the phone hotspot here. So hopefully I can hold out.
We're on the clock. Jamal Murray, Embiid.
Did Maxie go? Maxie shouldn't have gone yet, right?
No. Maxie's still here. So we'll make sure he's.
What you could do? Oh man, I don't love this spot. I don't know what again. Yeah, definitely take yeah, Maxie.
May have been a mistake here.
Who? I think you take Maxie for sure, but then I think you have to take one of these. Like, you got to take one of Kevin Durant or Jalen or Paul George if you want to try to get some of the Clippers. But you got to take one of those three wings, I think.
Yeah, which one? Yeah, should we
probably.
Do?
I would say KD. Just take the best one.
Yeah. Because what is it set up to where, like, if things, is there a chance Denver and Phoenix would play before the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, they could play in the first round.
Shit. Yeah.
Nothing matters.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
I mean, but that's what's crazy. They could either play the Thunder in the first round, the Timberwolves, the Denver, like they.
Right now they'll play the Mavericks.
The Suns?
Oh fuck, I thought you said the Clippers. Sorry, my fault. It's like just hit random generator and then you'll just you don't know who they're gonna play.
It's wild.
So when does the regular season end? When will this be locked relative to when this contest?
Saturday, I think, is the last day.
Sunday. They got a game on Sunday too.
Yeah, this Sunday.
Yeah, and I think they set it up too where it's almost like the almost like football in week 17, 18, whatever the last week is, where everybody's playing kind of at the same time. Let me just double check the schedule. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday.
So Sunday's the 14th. This contest closes on the 20th. So you'll have like 6 days of knowing the actual bracket.
Yeah, there's actually no games on Saturday. It's weird. So everybody plays on Friday and then everybody plays on Sunday.
Okay. So Sunday will probably be determining like a decent amount of this seeding, just the way we're headed for stuff.
But then we also have the play-in game, which will then, because like two of those four on each conference won't make it.
Yeah. So
I'm playing a dangerous game, guys.
So no one's buying the Suns, is what these ADPs are telling me.
Well, we're about to.
Why I'm trying to talk myself into it.
Are we double clicking Booker and Nurkic here?
Well, I mean, Nurkic, Mike, do you want to play the ADP game a little bit? 46.6, and we've cornered the market on Suns. Is the drafter going rogue on Nurkic? Sorry.
I honestly did not know that you were in filter mode. I thought that was just like the next best available. All these Suns.
Mike, first he made me take Tyrese Maxey 9 picks ahead of ADP. Now he wants to lock up fucking Nurkic.
Hey, Maxey was not going to be here. All right?
All right. Probably. I'm on board with Booker. Who else are we taking?
I think we need a wing.
Bro, you guys think you need a wing?
I know Clay definitely wants LeBron to fall to him. Do we take LeBron to Burnham, or do we go get some Zion or Paolo? I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't care about Clay's interest whatsoever. What is best for us, guys?
I actually prefer both Paolo and Zion over LeBron, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think I like Zion the most personally. Yeah.
Okay.
If they get out of the play-in game, he is going to be a beast for the first round of the playoffs. Like
he's been playing is like fucking insane. I was watching their game against the Suns, and he looked like totally unstoppable. He was blocking shots from behind people, and like it was
so fun.
So where are we at? Because that was the one of the very old school club debates: Ja Morant versus Zion. Ja had like surged ahead there for a while. Is Zion clawing his way back?
Yeah, I mean, Ja hasn't played.
Helps when you play basketball.
Well, wasn't that the argument against Zion? It helps when he plays basketball because he never played?
And it's helped.
I think like total upside still, Zion, just like when he is at his peak, he has games you watch where you're like, this guy could be the best player in the league if he was like totally healthy and, you know, in peak shape. He's gotten into much better actual physical shape over the course of this year. And I think that that's really changed a lot of things. Not necessarily changed people's ideas what his upside could be, but like showing that it's possible that he isn't just always going to be like a little bit fat and 300 pounds.
I'll believe it when he shows up to camp in shape. Like he's doing real Shaquille O'Neal energy where he's like, I'll play myself into shape. Don't you worry.
Man. That's how you know you're like when you're at a spot in your career where your team needs you so badly that you can just show up however. I mean, like, clearly Jokic is in that spot too, right? Like, the dude could show up weighing 350 and Nuggets would be like, fuck it. Yeah, do whatever you want, man. Like,
yeah.
All right. Mike, you got any big scroll the F down plays for us? You're getting back up on the menu.
Yeah. I think it's Nurkic and Tobias Harris, right?
Because we need that third.
Yeah, probably Tobias Harris. You could also talk me into Nurkic and Brandon Ingram and then give us two Pels. But it probably makes sense to get our third sixer.
Third sixer, which opens us up for all the different Western Conference pairings.
And I think I'm comfortable pushing Brandon Ingram and like maybe we get him. And maybe we just take CJ McCollum or Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Okay. Do we think we are done with Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just one-off.
You guys just are willing to just be dead for a Nuggets Philly. What if Melton opens it up?
I don't know what Denver guy we're getting that we need right now. Well, right. You know, Or listen, let me speak a little best ball breakfast. What if we need the Reggie Jackson handcuff for Jamal Murray?
Okay. So we're going to play this as our one-off Denver player gets injured. That seems like a great strategy.
Well, it's not a one-off if you get both of them. You know what I mean?
I apologize. John. True. It might as well.
The logic holds up.
So did Josh Getty weather that whole storm?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, did he swung in and was like,
the stunt did he took the heat off?
Yeah, did he was like, yeah, what if, let me put the D in Giddy. Well, that doesn't
work. Whoa, easy kill. Good sir.
Hey, I just got to make sure. I mean, that's something that definitely popped up in my TikTok algorithm. And I was never going to click him or float clicking him. But apparently if Raise It did his due diligence. And
he's been – I saw him I watched the Thunder-Knicks game a couple weeks ago live. And he's really good. Like, he's figured his shit out, like Nez said.
I hope he's figured some other shit out too, man.
Yeah, like how to check a fucking ID.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys about it offline if you want. I'll share some sources.
Some sources.
I don't want to throw some stuff out here.
All right. We got the 9-10 here. Definitely take in Milton and then
I like that you're calling him Milton now. Like, I like that. Well, did Ingram fall? Did we just go Ingram Melton, call it a day?
Yeah, I think maybe.
This is a good
team. We'll put the options in here. Mike wants to handcuff Murray. I want to take a total alpha, D'Anthony Milton. All right, so we're going to grab Ingram. Real talk, are there any other viable clicks other than Melton?
Bradley Beal. Beal is the last viable click.
Beal would be the other one.
Okay. Can this team win without Melton? That should be the question we're all asking ourselves right now.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
I do think Melton is the pick.
I do. I think the Sixers have the bet, like the easier path to at least a conference final, maybe a final. Like the West is just so stacked.
And this is where it comes full circle. This is where Chipsy, I get to say, suck it, brother, because we just built the winner for a Sixers Nuggets final. Jamal Murray, four Sixers, and it's going to pain you so much, Chipsy, because you are a Sixers homer, and you are going to be proven so wrong by this beautiful team we just drafted. Jamal Murray, Tyrese Maxey, Devin Booker, the one and only Deonte Melton, Kevin Durant, Zion Williamson, Tobias Harris, Brandon Ingram at wing, Joel Embiid, and Nurkic. What do we think of this squad?
I love it. Undefeated. I think we'll sun run to 50K.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see how it loses.
Clay, it is going to hurt so bad when this is the that shifts
welcome,
it.
Guys.
And you could have had a piece of it, just de facto piece of it.
I thought he was going big brain where he wanted the piece, but also another shot in this draft. So you forfeit the piece.
No, this is, I mean, once you can't double dip, and then once you draft someone named Sam Hauser, I don't want any piece of this. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to let Mike head out for the team hold playback, and then I do want to check in with Clay on a little beer endeavor he's been working on. But Mike, let the people know again where they can catch you. I'll drop the link for playback right now, and then let them know about regular content.
Yeah, we're going to be live on Playback. We've been messing around with Playback a little bit more, doing some of the morning show over there, but then the morning show you can also catch over on our main channel. I'll drop a link to that in the chat here in a second. But yeah, go check out at Team Hold Sport. Know the name of it.
Okay. Yeah, that's I have it hyperlinked in the YouTube description as well. You can check out those channels over there. Thanks, Mike, for dropping some NBA knowledge, and we'll catch you next time, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take it easy.
Yeah. Peace, bro.
And before we go here, Clay, you've been cooking up a new little project, the Collective Beer Project. You just sent me the link. I will confirm that I'm over the age of 21. Let me pull this up and tell the people what they're looking at.
Yeah. Super stoked about this. Been working on it for a long time. Finally got it out in the world. Doing our first collaboration with Bronx Brewery. So the concept's pretty simple. Basically, we're giving the opportunity for our members and also the community and fans of the breweries that we partner with the chance to create a collaborative beer with the brewery. So it's signups for free. Our membership, the Mash Pass, is free, and it gives you access to vote on the four different steps of the beer making process. So it'll help decide the beer type that we make, the hop flavor profile, the beer name, and the can art. Then once we've done that, Bronx and whatever breweries we partner with going forward, we'll put the beer in production and it'll be available for sale. And we have a really great distribution partner that's able to ship to over 40 states. Pete, I'm very, very sorry, but unfortunately, Massachusetts is one of the states that we're not able to ship to currently. But otherwise, it's most of the continental 48, Alaska and Hawaii excluded. But yeah, we're super pumped about this. Long time in the works. We're currently working to lock down our second and third collaborations to get those out publicly as well. And we've signed a great influencer who's working with us on this as well, called The Girl with Beer is her handle on Instagram. And we're excited. So we're doing a call with the Bronx team this Thursday to kind of get to know them better for the community. And then the first vote kicks off on April 18th.
So I'm going to ask Andy, a noted coder here, is this setup vulnerable to a Sybil attack where someone could get just a disgusting flavor potentially voted in to the process and force Clay's initial project to be just some gross tasting beer? I mean, we got to prevent this from happening. You're muted, Andy.
I am. Yes. Are you guys like verifying who mints it? Are you making them like prove they're a human or anything?
I'm the marketing guy, tech-wise. Okay. No, yes. So there is verification element. We have like two partners when it comes to like we're using Snapshot for voting. It's obviously token gated. I'm sure Andy could probably crash our shit though. So this is not like Web3 hardo. This is like we're trying to be very easy for use And the whole goal is just that being tokenized is that we can control and have like a more viable ability to manage the voting process. And it can't just be botted by like an Instagram poll or something similar.
Do you know what? I think the thing is with some of you beer guys is what I would think might have been an attack is some of the stuff you guys just enjoy. I've seen your cotton candy triple IPA. So it is going to be hard for me to decipher, Clay, what is actually intent and what was a prank.
Yeah, that's true. But look, hey, you know, sometimes there's some beauty in the chaos there. But the votes will be tailored. So, right. So like there'll be like about four options for the beer type. Nice. The hop and flavor components will be drawn from the brewery expertise, like what their suggestions are for like what's in season. And then obviously like not every, like it wouldn't be like we're going to offer something that's so, let's say that, you know, a lager is chosen for the beer. We probably wouldn't lean so heavy into hop components in that regard. It'd be a little bit more focused around flavor. If it's IPA, we would be cognizant that we're not going to do like a chocolate IPA unless somebody decides that it's really good. Maybe that is really good. I don't know. The whole part here is we're going to have some fun nice. And be able to, you know, have some direct input on how this beer gets made.
What are people going to be able to collaborate on can design as well?
Yeah, so that's going to be really, a lot of us too, we're going to figure out with this first collaboration, and then we'll be able to make it a little bit of a smoother process going forward. But the idea is we're going to be working with an artist that is in kind of like the Bronx repertoire that they've worked with on a variety of their can art before. They'll have a concept. We'll put it for the community to vote on which one they like the best to be applied to our beer and kind of match with the beer name. So yes, you will be able to help decide like what can art we are going to have on there.
That's awesome. I dropped the link and the Google form too down below if you guys want to partake. I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Sweet. And I actually just use the website link, Pete, rather than the Google yeah. form link. Because the website, you can just sign up directly in the top right, and all you have to do is just it's just email. So it's a passwordless sign up, really cool. It's almost like 2FA minus a step. Nice. And then once you do that, you'll automatically receive your Mash Pass and a CrossMint wallet. And it's all kind of behind the scenes to make it really easy for the beer fan. That's not as we're not trying to go like hardcore Web3 marketing lingo on this, you know, really, you know, ideas that you can send it to your friend you're having a beer with at Bronx Brewery. And it's just so easy for them that they're going to learn a lot about the tokenized aspects of it as we go through the process and not, you know, slam over the head with it.
Beautiful. Yeah. And you can, I will join if you will vow to personally drive my beers up to me through the
I can do that.
State lines.
I'm actually going to come up here. I'll be up your way this summer about when they'll be, they'll be fresh still. So I keep them on ice for you. I'll make a little hand delivery up there.
Nice. Andy, anything else you want to mention about IKB before we head out here?
No, sorry about the stream setup today. I actually, you know, I was just telling the guys before we got on that I actually updated my streaming setup. So it's funny that this was my first stream since doing that. No, check out IKB. We're giving away a shit ton of money in the form of future tokens on Flash. So it's a good time.
Awesome. Thank you guys for hanging out in the chat. I'll have a couple shows tomorrow. Swolecast is back. We'll also have Off and On the Clock, I believe. I hope I'm not speaking out of school. I think we're having T-Box on the show. So excited for that. I think might be a fun announcement there. I'm not fully in the know on that. But yeah, tune in to Off and On the Clock tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. And enjoy the rest of your week. For Andy and Clay, I'm Pete. We'll see you guys next time on the club.